And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello there, my fellow blue and white militants, and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp accused referee Craig Pawson of opening the door for Everton to take a point against his side in the Merseyside derby on Sunday. Everton captain Wayne Rooney equalised from the spot after Pawson ruled that Dejan Lovren's push on Dominic Calvert-Lewin was worthy of a penalty, and Everton came away from Anfield with a point. It was a tense Merseyside derby, as these games always are. Very tough to watch, but in the end, Everton defended well and deserved to come away with a point from Anfield and something to show from it. Some of the stats from the BBC that I've just literally copied and pasted off their website. Rooney has scored 5 goals in his past 6 Premier League starts against Liverpool. The Everton captain has been directly involved in 5 goals in his past 3 Premier League games. 4 goals and 1 assist, to be precise, one more than he managed in his previous 11 for Everton this season. Liverpool have equaled their longest ever unbeaten run against us in all competitions. That's 15 games now, set between March 1972 and April 1978. Hopefully that doesn't go on for too much longer. Everton have lost just one of their past 6 Premier League games. That's 1-3 and drawn 2 after losing 6 of the 8 before that. So, yeah, things have slightly turned around for us. And I'm joined by the ever-present Groucho, Dave the Rave from the Forum, and also the author of Everton in the 90s, Highs, Lows and Back. Here goes Jim Kehogan to look back over the Merseyside derby. Jim, how are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, thanks, yeah.
Good. Thanks for joining us. Dave, you all right, mate?
Yeah, fine. Better after the result.
Yes, it was... where do we start? Look, it was horrendous to watch. I don't think I've enjoyed a game less, to be honest, until the penalty. Obviously, I just absolutely despise this game. It must be intensified for you lads as well, with the fact that, you know, you're probably surrounded by Reds. First of all, Dave, how, you know, if you think back to where we were probably, 2 weeks ago, me and you did the podcast after the Southampton game, and it was horrific, and we were really starting to get concerned about where we went from here. Mate, you must be starting to feel slightly better now about things like I am.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, 3-4 weeks ago, that would have been 6-0. Mm. And to be honest, a part of me was expecting some sort of 4-5 or 6-0 today, even after we picked up the past couple of weeks. It's starting to... How many is that since Sam Allardyce's... How many points have we got now since... is that 7 points? Since the West Ham game?
Yeah, it depends whether you... I mean, obviously, the West Ham game was still Unsworth, wasn't it, on the touchline. But... But things have improved. Obviously, got the win last week, and then I know he wasn't involved with the European match in the week, but that was a win, and then it's coming away from there with a point. So, Jim, mate, what for you do you think is the single thing that, like, Allardyce has done since he's come in, Jim?
I think he seems to have given the side some confidence. I think, you know, before he arrived, even under Unsworth, they looked devoid of confidence, and you're waiting for Everton to just concede. Whereas now, you know, they still don't look, you know, great, but you get the sense that they know how to defend again, and they're confident of doing that, and that's a huge turnaround for the team.
Yeah, I just feel a little bit more kind of more assured now with Allardyce at the helm. Basically, what I'm trying to say is the worries of relegation have now kind of receded a little bit. I don't think that we will get relegated now. Whereas, again, 2 weeks ago, you know, if you'd have asked me that question, we probably would have all said that we were in danger, given that the amount of goals that we were shipping and just kind of like the way that we were playing. So, in terms of the tactics today, Dave, Were you pretty content with how we set up on paper before the game?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think when you... Obviously, I would have liked us to have won. And I would have liked us to have gone out and gone for it. But I do think if maybe we'd done that, maybe we'd have just invited them on the counter a bit too much, and maybe it would have been a little bit of an avalanche that way with them coming forward at us. So I suppose in hindsight, yeah, okay, it was a hard-fought draw, and we sort of set up to contain them. But, I mean, I think the possession stats were, was it 21% for us and 79% for them? They only had three shots on target, and we had two. So that says to me that we did that. That they can have as many shots as they like off target. I know they had a ton, but if they're not on target, well, that's fine. We seem to have contained them, and I know it was a little bit of an ugly way to get a result. I mean, we were under the cosh for most of the game, weren't we? But it's sort of what Sam Allardyce has been brought in to do: defend, nick a goal, win if you can, you know. And we did that, you know. We haven't got the greatest record in our field, and why we, it's one of life's mysteries, isn't it? Why we just seem to completely bottle it every time we go to Anfield over the past 20 years. But yeah, I suppose I am happy with the way we set up in hindsight.
Do you know what got me, though, was the fact that I understood why we set up in the way that we did. I completely understand that. And you know what? It pains me to say it. It pains you lads to say it as well. But you do have to kind of take heed of what Liverpool have got going forward. But it was the fact that we set up that way. And the most important thing when you set up like that is you've got to be efficient with the ball. You've got to be, you know, really kind of the races in terms of what you do with the ball, because you're not going to have it a lot. And that was my biggest criticism, and this was nothing on Sam Allardyce, because there's not a lot he can do about it. Jim, did you think that, mate, with the way that we just kept on giving the ball away?
I mean, I think this Everton side now, and kind of the way they are, I mean, don't sound like Anfield to play against Liverpool in the form they're in. I don't think we could expect much more than what happened. I think, you know, really, it was always going to be just go there and just defend. I mean, I know there are times where we're just lumping the ball away to nowhere, but I don't know if we have the players right now to kind of play properly against a team like Liverpool. So I was quite happy with the way we set up. I was quite happy with the way they performed. I mean, I think the best compliment that you can get is the way that Klopp was at the end. He was furious because we'd gone there and kind of we hadn't let them play. I mean, there's so many teams that go to Anfield each season and allow Liverpool to play how they want. The teams often get a result. They're the ones who don't. You go there and just, you know, just refuse to let them get behind them, refuse to let them play the natural game. That was today. And, you know, you're right, Liverpool didn't really threaten that much despite having so much possession. They weren't getting behind our back four. They weren't getting many shots on target. And I thought it was a really impressive performance across the board.
Yeah, it was. It just, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit hypercritical. And look, you're dead right. And at the end of the day, I'd rather us go there and snuff them out a little bit and come away with the point than go there and try and have a go at them and then get battered 4-0 or whatever. You know, it was under Martinez and what have you. So yeah, you know, I see it from that side. But do you know what, lads? I just thought at times we were so sloppy with the ball, and you know, it was like we knew we weren't going to get too many options to win the ball back and try and move up the pitch with it, and the way that we just would give the ball straight back to them after going 3 minutes without having it, that's what I'm getting at, I think.
But I think there was one point in the towards the end of the first half, we sort of pressed high and began playing a more aggressive game, and that's when Mane broke through. So it showed you that I think this Everton side, the way they are at the moment, I don't think we could have played any other way, to be honest. I think that's, you know, I think 2 weeks ago we'd have taken that point and this performance, and I think we should, you know, bear that in mind, really.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. To be fair, you know, let me just caveat that by saying, although I was disappointed with what we did with the ball, just because I was so desperate when we actually had it back to do something positive with it at times, you know, look, we've come out of there with a point, and that, as you say, you know, as I've already brought up, 2 weeks ago we'd have taken that with both hands. Jim, me on the podcast, me and Grouch have frequently spoken about Cucu Martina. I've had I do a like a behind enemy lines feature with other fans, And I've had a Southampton lad on before. He's a good lad, Aidan. And we, you know, when we signed Martina, I did a kind of lowdown on Martina with him, and he was like, "I've got no idea why you signed this fella. He's horrendous. You know, he's a very poor footballer for the Premier League. And also, you know, there's question marks with regards to like his discipline in games and the fact that he can go missing, yeah. And he isn't the most confident lad as well." And I think we've kind of seen all this now. Me and Grouch have spoken a lot about him. Grouch, what did you think of mate? What did you think of Martina today?
Well, less said the better, I suppose. He wasn't great, was he? He hasn't covered himself in glory.
His head went down, didn't it? Like literally, yeah. It was like, you know, when you were playing, you know, when you used to play Sunday League, and there was one lad who was just kind of like shoehorned in. He was the manager's son. like, mate, just do the simple. It was normally people saying it to me, but like, do the simple things right. And his head just went.
I'll be honest, I thought it was bizarre that Coleman brought him in, because he must have known when he was like at Southampton, his contract ran out. He couldn't even get a game for Southampton's reserves, could he?
No.
All the Southampton fans are wondering what on earth we took him for. I think the lad himself has actually said in an interview, "I didn't expect to be playing this much." So if he's astounded at the level of game time he's had himself, you know, I don't know. He's not going to get a look in at right back either, is he now? Which he is actually right back. He's not going to get a look in, because we've got Coleman coming back, who hopefully he'll go back to his old self. And John Joe Kenny, who was my man of the match today,
How's he going to get it
out of those two?
Oh, well, that's the thing, isn't it? John Joe Kenny, we will spend a little segment talking about him. Boys, both of you, just, you know, chime in when you want.
Just one thing. What Jim said before, it's been a long time since we've rattled the cage, or we've had a manager who could rattle the cage of the Liverpool manager. When was the last time that happened? I can't remember, to be honest.
I can't. It's not... Moyes never really did he? I don't think.
No. Martinez bowled over.
Obviously, we've got basically an historian on the call. Can you remember, Jim, who is the last manager to really rattle their cage then?
The one that sticks out, that was probably Joe Royal, I think, in a very similar kind of similar game, and his first game in charge, I think it was. And then after that as well, yeah, Liverpool management were always annoyed by him. I think because back then, I mean, they still expected to just, you know, come to Goodison or what we call Anfield, and just we'd roll over them, because we would kind of really go for them and often win. Because it was Royal and the way he was, he really wound them up. And it was watching that Klopp post-match interview was so satisfying today, because he's clearly, you know, in some ways it's almost as good as the point, because he's clearly wound up. He's clearly gone into this game thinking it's going to be a breeze, and we've been so hard to play against, and so I'm kind of playing the kind of football he clearly hates, which he doesn't regard as football, which is a ridiculous thing to say. And that's fantastic, because, you know, they love Klopp so much. To see him in a proper state at the end is just fantastic.
Yeah, and what makes it better as well is that we've seen a clip on the forum, somebody from the Anfield Rap having a bit of a moan on their podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing up Brexit for some strange reason, and digging us out with
bizarre,
that.
It's
very,
it?
Very bizarre, but you can tell they are really annoyed. And the best thing is about it is the guy who you want on your side when other people are really angry with you, because we've probably in the past, like, you know, got a bit annoyed with him, is someone like Sam Allardyce, because his interview, if you contrast the two after, you know, he's literally just, you know, he's having a giggle and he's saying, "Look, we had to come here and do what we had to do. Like, what does he want us to do? Do you want us..." So this is the issue with these top managers, and it's the same with Wenger. You know, what do they want us to do? Go at them. Like, okay, and then lose 4-0 again. It just doesn't work like that. It's... You know what I mean? Feel free to chip in.
No, that's it. It's almost like you have to apologise for not rolling over for them, isn't it? You know, how dare you come and score against us?
Jim?
Yeah, no, I think they do. I think they seem to think that it's our job to allow them to be entertaining. We're meant to kind of, despite their vastly superior budgets and vastly superior players, we're meant to come along and try and play the same football as them. Whereas it's our job to go there and get what we can from a game. If that means putting 10 men behind the ball and making them look shit, well, that's fantastic. that's our job. And so, you know, it's I said before, to see him the way, I mean, that interview was, I mean, if you're a Liverpool fan, you should be ashamed to see your manager like that afterwards.
I've just seen a tweet from Carragher before I hit record, before I called you lads, and he was saying, you know, it's not a good day for Klopp and his team. You know, they haven't really coated themselves in too much glory in the way that he's dug in about the penalty as well, which we will come to in a second. Just before though, I'll get each of your opinions on this. Start with you, Jim, and then we'll get yours, Grouch, as well. On the goal, could Everton have done slightly better, Jim?
I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? Because you're dealing with a player who's bang on form. I mean, Salah, you know, he's so threatening and he's playing at the top of his game. And so, I mean, yeah, perhaps Martina could have done more, but actually, he's the kind of player who, at the moment, could conjure something out of nothing. So he was the one in their side who looked the most dangerous throughout the first half and the time he'd on the second as well. So, yeah, you can always point to things. I mean, I think Martina was kind of pushed over quite easily. Didn't stand his ground, but actually it was just a very good goal scored by a player who's just bang on it.
What do you reckon, Grouch?
I've heard a few people saying it shouldn't have, well, we should have had a foul and it should have been disallowed because Martina was pushed, but he probably could have done better. We probably could have stopped the goal, but that's one of them, isn't it? You know, what can you do about it now?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And look, at the end of the day, Salah's probably one of the best players in the league this year. Yeah. I think him and... What do you reckon, lads? Him and Sterling?
Is it 19 goals he's got now?
Is it? Jesus.
I think that was his 19th, I'm sure it was.
So the two players that kind of like stand out to me who were a little bit of surprise packages are probably him and Raheem Sterling. And so you got to hold your hands up to a certain extent. I think probably Martina probably could have done more, but, you know, it's one of them. The penalty, though, we're all in agreement that that was a fucking penalty. Like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah?
I
can see to a certain extent like the fact that, you know, Dom probably leans into him a little bit, but then on the flip side, you know, Lovren should know, like, as soon as you put your hands against the I just think for a player who's been around a bit now, for like Lovren, it's just like a really kind of a bit of a like a silly thing to do. And when I think back to the preview that I did with one of the Reds on the game, you know, as I said, you know, how bad are your centre-halves? And he did also, you know, he kind of picked out Lovren and said, Lovren's just can be a proper liability, and that's why he gets the stick that he does. And I think you probably saw that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he does push him. If you see it from the back angle, there's no doubt about it. He pushes him. With Klopp in his interview saying that, oh, well, Dominic Calvert-Lewin steps to the right. Yeah, so what? You know, he does step to the right, but then he gets pushed. You know, it's going back to what Jim was saying before. Are we supposed to just say, oh, yeah, just push me on the floor, that's fine. You know, you go ahead and win. You know, it's mental. And I think I think Klopp made it worse for himself by taking the penalty decision, which, you know, 90% of the world thought, yeah, that was a penalty. By going on for something that was, it's so obviously he was wrong about it. I don't know if you've seen the clip.
Painful.
Tony Scott put a video up on Twitter, and he says, hands up, you know, all the press, in his conference, hands up who thought that was a penalty, and a lot of them put their hands up, and you can just see the look on his face in the silence. You know?
It's brilliant.
If you're going to argue and if you're going to put your case forward that you were robbed, okay, maybe they were, don't pick something that you are so obviously,
you know,
wrong about.
If you've seen that, he starts going after like the poor little Everton media bloke who sat there with his Everton coat on.
Yeah,
I feel, did you see? I mean, that's bad. And then the video that Grand Old Team actually shared, that Danny shared on the Twitter, of his just his interview immediately after the match in the tunnel. And,
yeah, Sky have been showing it.
Brilliant, in full. Brilliant. Did you have any doubt that Wayne Rooney was not going to score that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I couldn't watch it. I made my 9-year-old son watch it for me because you know, it's a penalty in a derby, so you know, it doesn't matter who's taking it. I'd expect us to miss it, but Now, just come back to that Klopp thing. I think the issue is that he knows that he fucked up today. He could have played the stronger side, and he could have kept Salah on. But I think he came into the game cocky. I think we should have been killed off. So I think he's maybe focused on that pen, because deep down he knows that partly this result is his own fault. He could have gone for the kill from the off. You know, he's playing a side who aren't that confident. There's a new manager. Liverpool are meant to be on fire and playing this fantastic Fab Four football. And he doesn't play Coutinho, doesn't have Firmino, takes Salah off when they want up, thinking he's coasting. I think that's why possibly he was so kind of focused on the pen, because he knows that he's properly fucked up.
I think you're right there, mate, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that now, and that's what makes it a little bit more sweeter. I did look at their starting lineup and think, but then I thought, I remember saying to the old fella, this could be worse now, because if we don't take advantage of this, we're going to feel worse. If they just fielded the best lads that they've got, again, Coutinho, Firmino and the other boys that they've got, you know, on top of the likes of Mane and Salah, then, you know, you kind of, there's a bit of you where you go, oh, well, you know, there's a really good Liverpool side if they'd have done that from the start. But when they gave, because it gave me a little bit of extra confidence before kickoff when I saw their side come in, you know, and I, mate, I think for Wayne Rooney, though, we've waited a long time to see him back in an Everton shirt in a derby. And there was a bit of me that thought when he scored the penalty and obviously went off, I thought, you know, it would just be now the best thing in the world for us to nick this, to kind of, you know, go away from this derby with the fact that he's contributed heavily to the first Everton win there since 1999. Do you know what I mean? Dave, did you have any concerns or not? I mean, I'm assuming you did, being an Evertonian, and the fact that
I assume we're going to miss every penalty we get until it hits the back of the net, and then I look around. Before I go too wild, I'll look at the officials to see if any flags have gone up, and then maybe I'll convince myself that it's actually gone in.
Yeah. How brave was he, though, to go down the middle as well?
Yeah, well, there you go. He's taking more penalties than I have.
True. So,
it's just a natural apprehension. It's the natural state of an Evertonian, isn't it, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, the just that feeling, though, lads, of when the net bulges, and especially at their place, and literally, like, just absolute pandemonium in my living room as well. John Joe Kenny, then, obviously, you boys being Scousers as well, you know, fills you with a little bit of extra pride, I suppose, seeing local lads in the Everton starting lineup in a derby. But I tell you what, that lad was, like, really, really good. And what I did like as well is the fact that he used his passion that he has for the game. He came out in the week and said that it'd mean more to him winning that game than it did winning the World Cup with the under-20s or whatever it was, the under-20s, under-21s, I can't remember. So it showed how much it meant to him, but he managed to harness that and leverage it in a very positive way, and it was an exceptional performance for him, wasn't it? Jim, you being the guy that really kind of is attuned, has done lots of research on Everton's history, do you think there's been... It's been like another, because it was his debut in a derby, wasn't it, today? So has there been anyone else, I think, who's performed that well, can you think of, in a derby? You know, a local lad?
For his debut?
Yeah.
In his first derby? To be honest, no, I can't really recall. I mean, I thought he was hugely impressive today. I think, you know, when you think what he's up against too, you know, playing a fullback, he's facing, they're like switching wings. So he's facing their two best players, and there wasn't one single point where it looked like he couldn't cope. And you think, I mean, it's really pleasing that when he first came in, he obviously looked a bit shaky because he's a young lad and the team weren't playing that well. But over the last month or so, he's really grown into the role, and now you feel confidence when you see his name on the team sheet. And you know, while we've had quite a few players who, it appears, don't seem to give that much of a shit about the club or don't seem to care that much where they are, you get that sense from Kenny that he's a proper Evertonian, and he gets what this club means and what it means to the fans. And like you're saying, what games like today mean. So I think it's fantastic that you've got someone like that on the pitch. And, you know, even better, he's a player who seems to be kind of, you know, he has all this promise, and it looks like it's promise that can be fulfilled as well.
What do you reckon, Grouch?
Well, I mean, he seems to have grown into it, yeah, definitely, and he seems to be hitting form. Sam Allardyce, if you listen to a few of the interviews that he's done in a short time here, Sam Allardyce thinks he's really good as well, which obviously he is. There were people saying, even when Koeman was here this season, why aren't we playing Jonjo Kearney? Why are they persisting with Martina? He's, you know, brilliant for the under-23s in England and that. And then he gets a go, and he doesn't have some of the best games. I think people sometimes think, well, I mean, I'm guilty of it as well. You'd expect the under-23s to just slot into their position and hit the same form, which is perhaps a bit unfair, and then they get dropped because they don't, and then you don't see them again. I think he's had a bit of a run. He's grown into it, and I think that's benefited him massively because he's got the experience. If you listen to his interviews, the lad himself, he speaks like a winner.
Mm.
You know, he's full of confidence.
I suppose
Yeah. He's won the World Cup for the youth Tassar, didn't he? He's won the Premier League too. So he is. And we need more of that.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we've got him. And when him and Coleman is back, you know, that's Luckman in front of him and Lennon as well. That's a cracking little right side we could have there.
I'm with you, actually. And I do think that by the time Coleman's ready to come back in, I think that'll be the time when Jonjo will probably need a rest. Because, look, you know yourselves, boys, like we've seen this with young Everton lads who've come into the side and we've had to use them in the past a lot more than maybe we should have in terms of just bedding them in. Because, you know, you think in the Moyes era, for example, you know, some of the lads that came through then, you know, they you had to use them a little bit more than maybe you'd have liked because we didn't have the squad size now. But I think obviously by the time Coleman comes back, then it'll be a case of, you know, you go, right, okay, you can have a break. And as you say then, as Groucho, then he's the lad that can come in if you need to give Coleman a rest. And we know what he's about. That's going to be interesting, actually, to see. Because, I mean, it depends on how well he plays between now and when Coleman's back. Today, in terms of the changes, though, I was quite impressed with the substitutions that Allardyce made at half time. But what I didn't think was the right choice was hooking Rooney off for Jagielka. I understood, you know, kind of shoring things up to that with that regard, but I just didn't know whether Wayne Rooney was the guy we wanted to take off. I might have been more inclined to change Sigurdsson. Does anybody disagree with me there?
No. Well, at the time, yeah, but now no, because it worked. If you know what I mean. It's we got the point. We hung on and we defended, which was the point of it. At the time, I thought it was very Moyes-ish. I thought it was very Saha off distant on, you know, that time. But it came off.
Jim, do you think there's a case that Sigurdsson probably needed to stay on just in case we got that set piece then? Is that, I'm just to play devil's advocate with myself a little bit.
Yeah, that could be his thinking. I mean, you know, if you get the ball down the end and it's a corner, or maybe you win a free kick, then perhaps he has the quality and the edge of Rooney. And maybe, you know, he's younger, he's got the legs over him as well. But, you know, I thought it was the right call, really. It was right to bring on another centre-half. I think I recall, do you remember that 3-3 game at Goodison a few years ago when Martinez was in charge?
And
I
yeah.
think, we were 3-2 up. We were 3-2 up, and he took off some. I think an attacking play and brought on. I think it was Stones, and then within like minutes, it was 3-3. And that was a typical Martinez thing where he does the right thing, but it doesn't work. With Allardyce, he brings on this defensive player, and actually we look even more solid, which is comforting going forward because you're thinking there's somebody who, you know, when you think about how poor our defence has been over recent months, there's somebody who can make these switches, but also he gets it right. He's obviously given the right instructions to his players and his subs. And, you know, by then, we looked as solid in the last 5 minutes as we had during the rest of the game, which was, you know, really impressive, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, some comments from the forum, boys, obviously, because we're doing this for Grand Old Team. Davis, 1878, says, pretty lucky we were horrific for 70-odd minutes. Hopefully the manager will know he can't play those attacking four as there was no pace and nobody to put the foot on the ball. Just kept going back to them. Kenny's starting to look like a real player. Obviously, we've already spoken about Jonjo Kearney. I'm not too sure. Yeah, it was pretty poor, especially when we won the ball back for 70 minutes, I suppose. So Davis, 1878, has a point there, but he's definitely right with regards to Kenny and how well he played. Sharpie's Volley says, what about that Gomez challenge in the early stages? Defo a yellow and got away with it. That was the tackle on Martina, wasn't it? That's actually a really good point. I think probably at that point the ref was trying to let the game kind of, you know, bed in and not start dishing out cards in a Merseyside derby. As we know, it's, you know, there's a surprise today that nobody got sent off. But do you think that should have been a yellow card, lads?
Definitely, yeah. I think so. I think Sigurdsson, wasn't he booked not long after for doing something a bit, you know, similar, really.
Very similar,
just kind of going in a bit rashly.
So,
yeah.
If that wasn't a yellow card, that's obviously just a ref.
Exactly. So I think maybe watch it because it was the first one, but, you know, as a blue, you always think it's because it's a red, don't you? And they're always giving more leeway.
What about what did Davis get booked for again? What was his challenge like? Can you remember that, lads? Because that's escaped my mind.
Yeah, that slipped my mind and all that one.
What did he do again? Was it just a little nick? I can't remember anyway. But yeah, probably out of the three, though, considering that Sigurdsson, and I can't remember what Davis's was, but I don't think it was that bad. Gomez was the one who didn't get the card. You know what I mean? So I suppose we've got to probably feel a little bit aggrieved by that. I think it was Dublin Blue Nose says, it'll mean now if we don't beat the horse punchers in midweek. Oh, yeah, of course. That is in reference to, I think it was was that a Sunderland fan or a Newcastle fan?
No, it was a Newcastle fan.
It was. So he's right there with that reference. Okay. He says that it would, you know, the point today won't mean anything if we don't beat Newcastle then in midweek. I can't believe we've got another game on Wednesday. It's mental. And then we can, if we win that, we can begin to push for European spots with 3 points. Jim, do you think there is a possibility that Everton can get Europe again this season? Because I do.
I'm not too bothered, to be honest. But I mean, yeah, it's possible because you don't know what kind of run of form that we'll put together. But actually, I don't mind having a season next year where we don't have the distraction of the Europa. But I think it's really damaged our season this year. I mean, we've had loads of the problems, but it definitely hasn't helped. So, I mean, if we're thinking to kind of plan the long term, I think we could do with a season next year where it's just domestic, really. And it's and we haven't got this kind of distraction of, you know, potentially qualifying for it and all these group games. So, yeah, we can, but I don't really want us to.
Oh, I disagree there, Jim. I kind of... And I get, although I understand what you're saying, and from a practical standpoint, of course, you know, it's not ideal starting the season in July or whenever it would be, say, if we managed to get seventh, and that meant that we had the opportunity to qualify again. But I just think that, you know, it just gives you something else to kind of attract lads in as well, and it's another opportunity to win a trophy, and if you can blag it and you can find that balance, you know, between juggling the league and doing that as well, you know, then I think it is beneficial. It's just that I realise as I'm saying this, you know, with this year's experience and ones in the past, bar I think 2006-07 maybe, that season when we finished fifth and had a European campaign that coincided with that, normally it does end in tears. But, you know, I just kind of feel like I want Everton to be involved in Europe as frequently as possible. But on the flip side, you know, I do also understand what you're saying. What about you, Grouch? Do you think, you know, looking at the table now, we can potentially kick on? I mean, you think about, I think Burnley occupy that seventh place now, or Tottenham. Tottenham got a win, didn't they, yesterday? So I'm not too sure, actually, off my head. But anyway, the point is that I don't think it's out of reach. Would you think that Everton can be inclined to start looking there?
It's still only the start of December, isn't it? I think we can definitely... Gary, whether we do or not obviously remains to be seen, but I think we can.
Do you agree with Jim, though? Would you rather we didn't?
No, although I do see what Jim means. It's been almost a colossal pain in the arse this season, hasn't it? However, you do... I think we would be better off with Europe, providing that we have prepared for it. I don't think they prepared for it well this year, for whatever reason it was, whether it was Ronald Koeman spending too much time on the golf course and all, whatever, I don't know, spending too much time chasing transfers, not having your proper team in, you know, I think we signed most of our players in 48 hours, then spent the rest of the 6 weeks trying to get Sigurdsson in. He didn't have a pre-season, it was all been a bit crap, let's face it, hasn't it? So if you do your preparation, yeah, great, like you say, it's a chance maybe for the trophy. If, you know, some stroke of massive luck, you win it, you're in the Champions League. I know that's unlikely, but you never know. It is a way to attract players in, and I just think you're better off with European football. But I see Jim's point. It can be it. Personally, I would err on the side of having it, because if we're in Europe, it means doing something right, at least. You're getting up the right end of the table, but it can be a pain, can't it? Let's be honest.
So one final question, lads, and I want to get both your thoughts on this. First of all, start with Jim, and then you can give us your thoughts, Grouch. You know, what are we now? I think almost, a week and a half into Allardyce's reign. Has he endeared himself to you? First of all, he's really growing on me. I kind of like the way that he talks in press conferences. I've completely made peace with the fact that Sam Allardyce is our manager now. I understood the reasons why the board eventually went for him. Jim, has he grown on you, mate, or are you still kind of the guy who's a little bit, you know, distancing himself from Allardyce's Everton manager?
Not really. I mean, I love the fact that he says we. I mean, yeah. I just talk to him in press conferences and in post-match interviews. He's using that so often. You get the sense that he's really kind of connected to the club quite quickly, which, you know, obviously didn't happen as a Koeman. And I think it'll be an interesting season because this is a different sort of prospect for Allardyce. He's normally brought in to be a firefighter. Well, pretty quickly, things have turned around for the club. And so he's got a chance to do something a bit different. I think it'll be interesting to see who he gets to bring in, who he ships out in January, what kind of football he's allowed to play, or, you know, he fancies playing, really. So, I you know, by the time he was appointed, I wasn't that against it because things were desperate. And after a few weeks, I've kind of warmed to him as a manager. And now I'm intrigued to see what he can do. Doing things like today really helped me. He's gone there. You know, we've seen Everton sides get, you know, go to Anfield and try and, you know, outplay Liverpool and get absolutely turned over. He's gone there today and faced a really informed Liverpool team, a very cocky Liverpool team, and he's snuffed them out, which is, you know, and he's wound them up. And as we were saying, how long had it been since we really wound Liverpool up? And I mean, they're sitting there tonight pissed off, and we're not. That's a fantastic feeling. So he's done lots of good stuff early on, and I'm optimistic about the next few months, which, you know, hasn't been the case for quite a long time.
Grouch, what about you? I know you had your reservations. I remember when we did, think way back, Grouch, now, what, probably 6 weeks ago, when we did our Assessing the Candidates podcast and we went through all the people who were linked with the job. We landed on Allardyce, me and you, and we both said, oh, I'm not too sure, you know, I don't think that he's not the right direction to go in. Obviously, a lot's happened since then. Have you made peace with Sam Allardyce, Groucho?
Oh, yeah, I'm fully on board the Sam Allardyce gravy train. And that pun is very much intended. You've got to get the gags in when you can. I was just going to bring that up. We did that manager candidate review podcast, and we were both absolutely not. And then pretty much from that moment on, when things went downhill,
yeah,
we were going, actually, do you know what? It might not be such a bad idea. And he went on the telly, didn't he, saying...
What?
Oh, what? He was doing an interview. Well, he was just a pundit, wasn't he?
He was his talk sport on it, yeah.
That's right. And he was saying, well, what I'd do is I'd sort the defence out. And we were going, yeah, absolutely, that's absolute perfect sense. So, yeah, I'm all for him. I would like to retract my previous comments. I'm going to put a picture of him up in the kitchen. And also, I've got no problem with Sammy Lee either.
No.
Every single account... I've heard from him, from people who've known him. He's an absolute 100% professional. Yes, he might have been the red, but he's a member of the Everton staff now. And he, like we said last week, he's up and down off that seat every 5 seconds, isn't he? You know.
Yeah, Jim. Sorry, guys. Jim, you speak to a lot of people in the football world. Have you come across anybody that knows Sammy Lee? Has anyone give you any kind of references of him as a guy? Because everything we seem to hear is, you know, he's a really good coach and a decent fella as well.
Not really, but I mean, I agree. I think, you know, so far he looks like he's committed to the club and he's doing everything right. So I mean, you know, I followed the Blues when he was a player. I can recall the songs about him and kind of hating him. But if he does the job for us and it looks like he is, then that's fine by me.
Yeah, I heard some of them songs in the Gladys Street about 2 weeks ago. So well, hopefully that, that'll
I,
get
I
put
don't
out now.
Think, I don't think the worst of them songs are true anymore. I don't think he actually does do that.
No. So,
maybe he does, I don't know.
It's a fairly slanderous claim to make, unless he's one of them like yes. New Age hippie types, and he just goes, "No, I'm protecting the environment, recycling. It's good for you. It's good for you." But he doesn't strike me as that kind of guy, Sammy Lee. Look, lads, appreciate you coming on. Obviously, it's nice to do the podcast after a derby. I mean, you know, this is the first season we've done it, and actually the first podcast we've done after a derby. But you would assume that being Evertonians doing a podcast after the derby, we would be a little bit deflated and depressed. But we're not. We're not. We're looking forward. And Newcastle on Wednesday, the horse punches, as Dublin Blue Nose put it. So that'll be intriguing, and hopefully we can go there and get a win. If you're listening, which I hope you are, obviously at this point, I've got an interview with Andrej Kanchalskis. It's on the Grand Old Team YouTube channel, which was great. Jim, I believe have you ever spoken to Andrej before, Jim?
No, I went to one of those meals they do at Goodison.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to interview Royal and Kanchalskis, but I did Royal, and I talked to Kanchalskis for a bit, but his English wasn't that good.
Oh,
and
tell
so
me about it.
What I got, I couldn't really use. Yeah, it was just a lot of kind of, you know, good club by like Everton, and it wasn't really like compared to Royal, it was just fantastic. So yeah, I talked to him, interviewed him, but actually he didn't make it into the book in the end.
Oh, bless him. Yeah, I did have that kind of issue with him. Someone made a joke on the forum, actually, Jim, and said, "You've got a Russian speaking to a wolf. Can we have some subtitles, please, Lid?" I don't want to make any generalizations, but with Russians sometimes, the other Russians or people from like Eastern Europe that I've met before, it can be a little bit kind of like, you know, they've got a way, haven't they, the way of talking, and sometimes you feel like a little bit like, you know, do they like me? Do they not? I don't know. But with Andrej, like, he was very warm and sincere, and you know, he was chatting to me and my dad after the interview that we did, and he was talking about the price that we paid for some of the players, and he was like shaking his head and going, "It's a lot of money and stuff." But which was great. But he was lovely. But yeah, I did have that issue when I was speaking to him as well, where I was like, I don't really know what he's saying here. But I did ask him about carrots, and that was where he made the most sense. So I'm not too sure whether, you know, there's something in that or not. But lads, look, thanks for coming on to the Grand Old Team podcast again. Thank you everybody for listening. Let us know if you enjoy listening to these podcasts, by the way, because we get the odd light bit of feedback, but we don't get too much. But then I see loads of you listen on SoundCloud and iTunes and on the forum and whatever. So if you do listen and you do like what we do, let us know, because then we'll keep on doing it. If you don't tell me, then I don't know, and I could just be doing something that you absolutely hate. I don't know. So anyway, yeah, thanks again to Jim. Jim, just quickly, mate, I know you've got a new book out. Do you want to give it a little plug, take this opportunity?
Yeah, all right. It's Everton's Greatest Games. It's 50 of our finest moments from the start of the club right up to the Oviedo game. So it's a collection of like match reported memories from players, fans, managers, me, all sorts in there.
Right, okay, so that would make a fantastic Christmas present. Groucho, have you written any books before? Have you written any books?
No, okay. Not even graffiti.
Well, okay, you've never graffitied?
No,
what, not
I've
even wrote something on like a desk at school, like EFC on a desk at school?
I spray painted a pentagram in the toilets once.
There you go, that
clever,
counts.
But, yeah, that was
that counts.
Yeah.
Grouch, where are you on Twitter again?
Right, it's
at Geo. I know your thing. Yeah, it's at Geo.
Yeah, you know better than me.
There you go. There, I've just done that job for you. There. Again, thank you everybody for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. That was Jim Cahogan and Groucho from the forum. And I'll see you again next time. All the best.
History, it's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.